Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of The Watchman Messages as we continue yet again with our study of the book of Revelation. Now, we kind of had taken a break because I wasn't recording fresh messages, but we're back to the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord, and we've moved quite some distance. We actually have moved quite some distance. Just a few subjects still left to tackle. But today we are looking at Revelation 18, Babylon and the fall of the great Babylon. Now, of course, some people think that Babylon refers to a geographical place where there will be a kingdom of the Antichrist at the end. And that is just wrong completely, because remember, when Babylon was initially destroyed, it was promised that it shall never be rebuilt again, the city, the actual physical city that was Babylon. However, the spirit of the Babylon has still been there, was there at the time, and still is there up to now. Remember, it started with Nimrod from the Tower of Babel, which is Babylon, really. Babylon, the same place actually where he was building the Tower of Babylon is where the next empire of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar, was built. And the spirit that foments that rebellion against God. And the whole Babylon is a system that seeks to control the lives of men outside the influence of God. A system of wealth, a system of governance, and every kind of human endeavor that attempts to have a sway over the direction of men without, you know, the control of God, or actually completely flying in the face of the control of God, which is what the Tower of Babel was, like some kind of defiance to God of, we are going to, you know, build something that is going to be as great as you, and we are going to get up to where you are, and we are going to do this. So now, the spirit of Babylon is still very, very existent in so many ways. So now here it says, now First Revelation 18 is talking of a time yet to come, but which currently is, but the actual event of the fall of Babylon is yet to come, because it represents a whole system, not just of governance, but especially of wealth. Now, that's where we want to focus our attention. In chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "After these things I saw another great angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a place for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird." Now, it goes on to say, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." Now, later on in the same chapter, it says that in 1 hour, I'll read on from, let's say, verse 9. It says, "Babylon has fallen, and the world mourns Babylon. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning." Now, this does not really have to be an actual physical burning of an actual physical place, no. But it is going to be a burning of a whole economic system which has been built into bringing the Antichrist into place, but also built around that same spirit of the Tower of Babel, of Nimrod, of defiance to God. It's a whole financial system that is currently in place, and that is currently the source by which so many of the servants of the devil have enriched themselves. But then the Lord says that their judgment comes, and then in 1 hour they weep, because it says there that verse 14, "The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment and weeping, saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones. For in 1 hour, such great riches have come to nothing." In 1 hour, I will repeat that, such great riches have come to nothing. And then they cry out, and then it says they throw dust on themselves, and then they weep. And then, because all their wealth which was held up in a certain system has vanished. Okay, now imagine a scenario where the stock exchanges crash and something completely crashes. For instance, I'll give you an example. Just the other day, for 6 hours, Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp were off for about 6 hours. And just because of that, the wealth of the man who owns them came down by a number of billions because the shares in them went down. Now, the whole system is built on a system of shares. And now that's where the wealth is. People buying shares and so on and the control. And yet, it says there that it is very fragile and at any minute, it can actually come down tumbling. But then also in the same scripture, it says in verse 20 of chapter 18 of the book of Revelation, when all this is happening and the whole world is mourning the fall of Babylon and the wealth, all such great wealth and splendor that has come to nothing in the space of 1 hour. 1 hour, of course, being symbolic of a very, very short time, you know, almost instant, but not entirely instant. You know, it says, rejoice over her, O heaven, while the others are weeping. It says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Now, this is the system that is used to crush the purposes of God. Now, the holy apostles and prophets, the people who are sent of God, apostolic, prophetic, referring to people who are sent of God, of course, others as well who are sent of God, but this is symbolic, you know, the foundation of the church built on apostles and prophets. So now, while the world is mourning, these people are celebrating. The children of God are celebrating because something has come. Why? Because the wealth has not just been destroyed in the one instance, but the wealth has been actually transferred elsewhere. Because wealth cannot be entirely destroyed. I mean, how can it be destroyed? Because it is there. You know, for instance, the wealth that was created by God, let's say the land, the gold, the minerals and all that, cannot be destroyed unless one way or the other, because it is there. It is just transferred from one group to the other. So now, while these people are mourning, the wicked of the earth are mourning, the holy apostles and prophets, the Bible says, are rejoicing, and heaven is rejoicing as well. This is spirituality. All this wealth is about spirituality. That's why it says the kings of the earth drank in the wine of her fornication and through her sorcery. Actually, I'll read on from here, from verse 21, it says, and a mighty angel took up a stone with a great millstone and threw it onto the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall be found no more. And he says, the sound of the harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in her anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in her anymore. Then I'll skip a few there, and I say, for I'll go straight to verse 23. It says, for your merchants were great men on the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all who were slain on the earth. Now, here it's by the sorcerers, because there's a spiritual kingdom. Now, there's wealth which has been created through the spirit, and the people who are currently controlling the world get their wealth from the spirit, but of course from the spirit of the darkness. The dark spirit, whom they call the master of the universe, who actually is the devil, but they call him the master of the universe. So they will come and say the master of the universe has said this, telling each other, and then they push. Now let's push this, and they are pushing, and they have their ways of pushing to ensure that they get wealth away from certain people and put it into the hands of their people who are pushing the agenda of the enemy. And it is all spiritual. There is nothing natural. Some people think it is natural. Some people think they are going to get wealthy in the natural. It is just not going to happen. Now, the whole world has gone spiritual in almost everything. Now, these people do not just have the wealth for nothing. The wealth that they create has been created for the purpose of transforming the world into the image that the devil wants it to be in. For instance, all the things that they do, now, for instance, they go to a lab in Wuhan in China and they manufacture a COVID virus. Now, that's absolutely proven, not even here, but it's totally proven, because it was found out that America sponsored what they call gain of function of a virus, which was previously in animals, and it was made to come into human beings. And they sponsored it. In other words, they manufactured it. And now they bring a whole crisis in the world. There is COVID crisis. But they have actually manufactured it, and they know what they want, what the end result is. So while everybody else is being impoverished and locked down, certain big companies are getting richer. You know, Jeff Bezos' wealth goes higher because now suddenly you can only order things through his platform. Then suddenly Bill Gates has invested a lot of money in vaccines, and now vaccine companies are getting very rich. I was reading the other one, the stock exchange, Pfizer, one of the makers of the one of the worst vaccines, which is giving people all sorts of trouble. But the makers of it, who are forcing people to take a vaccine which they don't need, the makers of it the other day were posting a profit of $19 billion in just one quarter. And now the interesting thing is this: all the medicines which they made to cure the side effects of the virus, for instance, if you have blood clots, they have a medicine for blood clots, and the stock of that medicine has also gone higher. If you get something to do with your heart, which is also the effect of the vaccine, then they also have a medicine for you. So either way, they are getting money. They first of all give you a vaccine which you do not need, then afterwards you get side effects, then they treat those side effects, and either way they are making money. Even if you don't get side effects, they will get money from the vaccine. So one group of people is building wealth for spiritual purposes, to turn this world to be under the person whom they call in their world the master of the universe, whom we call the devil or Satan. But while they do that, and now other things are coming, I'll tell you this, other things are on their way. For instance, I saw in 2017 at the World Economic Forum, which sits every year in a city called Davos. It might as well be called Devo, but it is called Davos, D-A-V-O-S, in Switzerland. They came up and said that, you know, there is a great pandemic coming, and then they even said it is going to come during the reign of Donald Trump. And then they said this pandemic is coming and it's going to go across the world. And then they even started rehearsing how they are going to do the pandemic. Then I can tell you this, it is even written, because I read this in mainstream newspapers. This is not something that I know by some, you know. This was all mainstream. They were doing some kind of mock-up exercises of how they are going to lock down people and how people are going to be locked down and how they want people to be dependent on, you know, their governments and so on. And then somehow they disempowered. It was all a mockery of how it is all going to be done. It was first done by those people who go to the World Economic Forum in Davos. Then afterwards, it was another mock exercise was done by the pharmaceutical companies and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So now it is all a mock-up. So they prepare and then they are ready. Then when they are ready to tell you what to do, then they unleash a virus which they have been working on before. Okay? Now, I remember seeing a picture of Obama in a Wuhan lab inspecting. He had just left the presidency, but he's there in a Wuhan lab where the same virus came from, and he's there inspecting. Now, some people say, oh, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and think what you think. I'm telling you what there is. Now, if you do not want to be educated in these things, you go and stay with your ignorance. God bless you. But there are certain things that we have to understand. So these people create something. They are servants of the devil. And they create a scenario where they create a problem, then there is an outcry, and then they come with the solution. But the solution involves them having more control. Whoever thought that in developed countries people could just be told, don't do this? For example, what's happening in Australia? It is outright tyranny. Like, Australia has descended into the level of tyranny that is unthinkable, absolutely unthinkable. Nobody has any right any longer because of a certain sickness called COVID, which only kills 0.0% of the people who get it. But the whole governments in the world have gotten tyranny of telling people when to go to sleep, when to do everything, now wake up, now sleep, now what? And this is all geared towards one thing. But it says the world that they have been preparing is going to be turned over at some stage. Now let me tell you this. Now the same people who predicted, in quotes, that there was going to be a pandemic, the very, very, very same people, guess what else they have predicted? There is going to be one major... Now, they have been saying this over and over again. There's that guy called Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum. And he's the guy who is like almost like they are in quotes prophet. But of course, he tells you, he speaks things which they are going to do, so that they prepare the people's minds for some of these things. Now, he said that what if there is one major cyber hack, one, you know, crash of the whole cyber world, and then everything is lost, all data is lost, and people lose their money in banks and lose all their savings and everything. He says we should prepare for such an event. So now they say we are preparing, we have to fight cyber attack. They're not fighting any cyber attack. They're just preparing to come up with one major cyber attack. They control the internet anyway. They are coming up with one major cyber attack so that you go and suddenly the bank has no record of all your savings. So you had money in the bank, it was there. Sorry, we don't know. Nothing shows. Okay? Because all the computers have been wiped clean. Now, I tell you this, they are preparing for that. In the same way they prepared for COVID and then it came, then they knew what to do. Okay? And the whole purpose is to control wealth by making a few people, all the people who are in the know, withdraw their money from the stock exchange in certain places like airlines, because they knew people are not going to fly that much any longer. So you find people go and selling all their shares. And this happened, actually, I was seeing a lot of senators in America, especially Democratic senators, selling all their shares they had in airlines just before COVID came. They knew what was going to happen, and they knew what they were preparing. There's no doubt about that. Now, when COVID comes, no flying, no movement, then airline stocks go down. They start crashing. But just by some stroke of luck, it would be, these people had, just before it all crashed, sold all their shares in airlines and in other businesses attached to that, okay? Especially out, eating out chains and so on. They remove all their shares and then go and buy stocks in pharmaceutical companies, which now are the most lucrative because they are forcing people, like poor countries like Uganda, to borrow money and buy vaccines which we do not need, okay? Which actually are causing more harm than the salvation they are doing. And I will tell you that. Just right now, I've been talking to somebody who was healthy, young, very young, healthy, in early 20s. No problem. Forced by her employer to go and get a vaccine. She developed maggots around that place, around the shoulder where they put the needle. And the whole place just started getting rotten. So they had to cut deep into her skin to kind of stop the rot. And this is somebody who was okay, no more healthy. But you force them to go and get a vaccine, which they do not need. But because pharmaceutical companies, which are making hundreds of billions of dollars, are paying money to governments to force their people to get a vaccine, then the governments go and force RDCs to go and enforce a vaccine on people who do not need it, okay? On people who are at very, very low risk of having any problem with COVID by virtue of their initial health, by virtue of their fitness, by virtue of their age. So this is how the whole wicked empire runs. Babylon the Great, preparing one big government, preparing one big financial hit where everything is wiped out, all financial information is wiped out. And then they wipe it out, and by the time they bring it back, all the money belongs to them. That's the plan. So you have lost all your savings, but thank you very much. That money has gone somewhere. The money has not just vanished. Just because the computer has been wiped clean doesn't mean the money has vanished. It is still somewhere. Where is it? But you can't access it because the bank has no records whatsoever of what amount of money you have. Now, I'm telling you, they already spoken about this. They spoke about COVID in 2017. They practiced lockdowns in 2017 up to 2018. It happened in 2020. They have already started. By 2019, they were talking about a cyber crime, one major cyber crime that wipes away all the financial information. Just know they are planning it. Okay, I don't know what you do with this information. You do with it as you will, but I know they are planning it. And this is how they work. You listen to them and you know exactly what they are planning. You see, wicked people do not just do things without warning. There's a reason why. Because they have to prepare people's minds for a certain outcome. It is very necessary to prepare people's minds for a certain outcome. And so that when something happens, your mind has kind of heard about it. For instance, the other day I was watching on TV, and I didn't intend to tune in that direction, but I was in a gym somewhere, and as I'm working out, then they are showing Big Brother, Nigeria. Then I look and I remember how we were excited some years ago over Big Brother and Big Brother. Then I realize actually Big Brother was a dress rehearsal for lockdowns. Lock you down there, there's somebody watching over everything you do, like they do trying to do right now through phones and through technology. Somebody watching over everything you do. And so they make you all watch Big Brother, and you're there. You have to obey yourself. They tell you what to do. You do it. Now, all housemates, today we are going to wash. Yes, Big Brother, you wash. Today we are going to watch TV. Yes, Big Brother, you watch TV. In the house, there is no doing what you want. Nothing. You can't just say, okay, I'm in the house, I'm going to watch TV from morning up to evening. Or you can't say, I have a novel, let me read a novel. No, they don't allow you to have a novel. They don't allow you to have any. So it is all controlled. It's one order and everything is controlled. People respond accordingly. Now you're watching it on TV and you're being prepared for lockdowns which will come. Stay home, stay safe. Actually, yet even if it was found out later that the easiest place for COVID to be transferred is home, but here they are saying stay home, stay safe, instead of, oh, now, then your mind kind of gets used to it. That's why they prepare people's minds for things like aliens, they prepare people's mind, all sorts of things. They are not thrown on people before they use especially movies and TV reality shows to prepare people's minds for certain things which are being planned. Previously, before TV was such a big thing, evil, wicked people used novels, books, to prepare people for what is coming ahead. And they state it in all its wickedness, the way it is. They state it there. I'll give you an example. In the late 1920s, in the actual 1920s, long before Adolf Hitler became the Chancellor of Germany, long before, he wrote a book which is translated as My Vision, which is Mein Kampf. And in the book, he was outlining how his plans to rule the world. He was outlining how he's going to destroy Jews and kill Jews. And it was there outlined how he's planning to kill Jews, what they eventually called Final Solution, where they wanted to kill all the Jews in the world. It is there. It was there in black and white. And the book was being sold in libraries. It wasn't like a secret. It wasn't something. No, it's out there. People read it. And they kind of read it as a work of fiction, yet the person who wrote it means everything he's saying. He's not joking. But it seems to be so wicked that people do not actually want to believe it, because they kind of still believe in the goodness of men. Men are wicked without God. There is no good without God. Take God away and men are wicked. Somehow, and you know, these atheists believe that morality is inborn. That's all rubbish. Take away the factor of God and see how wicked men can get. You see, when they are all, everything they do is they take away the factor of God and see just how wicked men can be in their heart. The scripture says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceptive, is wicked. Okay? The heart of men. So, what makes men, you know, we're doing a certain, because we have the influence of God in our lives. Now, that man goes and writes out there how he intends to destroy all the Jews. And he puts it out there. It is read. People read it. They say, no, nobody can be this wicked. So they don't believe him. So 1931, 32, his party stands, Socialist Party stands, and finishes second. Then eventually the man becomes chancellor because the person who finished first somehow went to a deal with him in which way it was all a certain something spiritual propelling him. Then the next thing, the man is chancellor. Then by 1934, the man is what they call Führer, which means like some kind of supreme authority. Then, just like that, now the Jews who had read the book or who had heard about it, when they saw that this man has become chancellor and has become Führer, some of them just said, you know what, let's take this man at his word. He wrote that this is his plan. Now he has the authority to do it. But others said, no, that was just writing. He can't be that bad. Then they take their time. Why? Because they are lazy, because they don't want to leave Germany. We've grown up here. Our grandparents were here. You know, and we are the fourth, fifth, sixth generation Germans. So what we have rights and so on. But the man has told you what he's going to do. Eventually, by the time it got to 1936, 37, they could no longer leave Germany. And many of them were killed. Now, those who had believed the man's words actually ran away. Most of them ran into America. Some ran to Great Britain while they still could. Because by that time, when he became Chancellor and Führer, you could still leave Germany even if you were a Jew. There was actually nothing wrong with you. Many of them crossed the Atlantic and went into Germany. Sorry, went into America. Those survived. But some refused, and they kind of have this belief that people can't be that wicked. And I see that all the time, where you tell people, this is the plan. This is the plan, and there is no good. Like I told people, there is a plan to reduce the population of the world drastically. And I personally had Bill Gates say, speaking to a group of influencers, telling them that we are going to do it by vaccines. I personally saw a video. You cannot find it on YouTube right now because they deleted it, because when this whole thing came and they were pushing for vaccines, it started trending, so they pulled it down. but I personally saw that video long ago, like 6-7 years ago. And he said that we can use vaccines to reduce like the population of the world like by 15% or so. Bill Gates said that. And who is guessing who is pushing for the coronavirus vaccine? Bill Gates. So now when I tell people there is no way under the sun anybody is going to force me to get a vaccine, they think I'm being severe. But I cannot take it. Nobody can make me take it. Nobody. Okay? Ah, you want to travel? I want to travel. It's okay. Let me stay in Uganda. I will not, but I'm not going to take it. Now, some people have to take a stand. You see, I'm going to lose my job. I mean, what will happen? What if you have a choice between you losing your job and taking the mark of the beast? I'm not saying the vaccine is the mark of the beast. It is not yet. But what if it came to that? You see, that's why the scripture says in Revelation 19, all cowards will have their place in the lake of fire. It says that actually. I used to wonder why cowards, what have cowards done? But you see, people enter into things which they know are fake because they are scared. They are scared to be different. They are scared to stand alone. Okay? They think that somehow what is good is what everybody is doing. And that is so not right. And we have to also actually remember that narrow is the way. You see, some people have forgotten that. They still believe that if everybody is doing it, then it's the right thing to do. So anyhow, moving on. So there's all these things. So now when I'm telling you that these people have actually said, before they put it down, go and check Klaus Schwab saying that how there's going to be a great cyber attack. You go and listen to him yourself. It's right now, you can find it on YouTube. Go and listen to it. And you see that he's not just talking anyhow. They know what they are doing. He knows what he's doing. And they will try to do it. At least they will try to do it. Whether or not they do it, we'll leave that to God. They do not have the power to do everything they want, because the hand of God intervenes. But then we know that that's what they are planning. So I am telling you that this, so they build a whole Babylon of money, finance, which is for them, which is for them and purely for them. And this is what they are planning. And they go and they prepare people for a kind of tyranny. Then people become very, very accustomed to it. I'm telling you, until people understand that you have to see the end of a matter, do not just look at the simple thing. Remember where we all started. Lockdowns and curfew, let us until they flatten the curve. Then the curve flattened. Then they said, no, until we do something else. Then afterwards we say, no, just lock down, now no reason. Then later on they say, we'll lock you down until we vaccinate you. When vaccination is out, then we'll open up. Let me tell you, until people stand up, there is not going to be an opening up. Okay, the countries where they have removed COVID restrictions, it is either they have gotten a leader who is God-fearing, like Zambia, or they have been major uprisings, like in the UK. In the UK, they tried to bring vaccine passports, and people poured in there, tens, maybe hundreds of thousands in the streets, and then they removed it. But otherwise, if you keep quiet, they keep on pushing the button, pushing you deeper and deeper into tyranny. Now you cannot go into university unless you get it. Now you cannot do this unless you get this. RDC is put, you cannot get services, as if their salaries are paid by vaccinated people only, okay, and not every taxpayer. Now you cannot do this. And it goes down and down like that, down that road. But anyhow, thank God that something is happening. But here we're talking about the great Babylon, the financial empire. So now these people build a whole group of wealth. But the wealth is not just to be rich. Now, the difference between sometimes, which I find very disappointing, the difference between the people of God and the people of the world, and I mean those deep, top spiritual people of the world, of the kingdom of darkness, is that the people from the kingdom of darkness seem to understand purpose more than the people of the kingdom of God. Now, some people think that somebody like, you know, has money because he just has money because he was clever, he sold this and this, he created this platform and so on. That is not how it works. That level of wealth is given either by God or by the devil. And both of them give it for a purpose. Spiritual wealth comes for a purpose. For a purpose. Now you see that I was seeing this actually one day when I was watching a television. Actually, it was on the BBC. And I saw Mark Zuckerberg, the guy of Facebook, talking about, it was, I think, 1 year since Steve Jobs, the man who founded Apple and so on, had died about 1 year later. So they were commemorating his death. And one of the people who were there, as if the people who wanted to, you know, praise him for what he has done for them and so on, was Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook man. And Mark Zuckerberg said he went and created this platform, of course called Facebook, and he collected as many at that time as 500 million people who were on the platform, but he did not know how to make money from it. He was struggling to see how to make money from a platform. Imagine a platform which had, at the time, 500 million people. Of course, they are much more right now. But he was struggling to get money out of it. Then he said, and I'm listening to him on BBC, he said that he went and consulted Steve Jobs. And now Steve Jobs directed him to go and consult a certain Indian guru who would tell him what to do. An Indian guru whom Steve Jobs himself had consulted. So Zuckerberg goes to that Indian guru, who of course is like a high spiritist, servant of the devil, but you know, at a spiritual level. And the man, actually that guru whom Steve Jobs sent Mark Zuckerberg to, is the guy after whom Steve Jobs named Apple, because that man who gave him the wealth liked apples. So when Steve Jobs went and spent time there, and this guy gave him like that, you know, push to go and create wealth, he named his company Apple after that man's favorite fruit. Now, he sent Mark Zuckerberg there. Zuckerberg goes there as somebody with a platform with 500 million people, but who does not know how to turn that influence into money. When I'm telling you, I saw Zuckerberg himself, not hearsay. I saw Zuckerberg himself on TV saying this. Now, when he went there, when he came back, within a short time, Facebook had become a multi-billion dollar institution after he got that spiritual backing, that spiritual cover. But what happens in places like that? What happens when somebody who has put up something but is struggling goes and wants to attach it to something spiritual? Let me tell you what happens. Is purpose. So before, when you go to the devil to get money from there, he's not going to give you his money until he has given you a purpose. And the ultimate purpose is to destroy the work of God and to send people to hell. That is the devil's interest. He does not have any interest in anything else apart from sending people to hell. Okay, destroying the work of God. Now, when Zuckerberg comes from there, his Facebook becomes big. The next thing is worth 8 billion, how many billion? And I don't know how many billions now the Facebook is worth and how many billions Zuckerberg himself is worth. But the point is, he had to connect it to a purpose, to a spiritual purpose. And I'm sure when he goes there, they tell him, okay, we are going to give you this worth, but you are going to do ABC for the kingdom of darkness. And you have to swear that you are going to do those things for which you are given the worth. And I tell you, the day you stop doing them is the day that whole thing can come down tumbling. People think certain companies are too big to come down tumbling. The spiritual world has total control over this world. Somebody who is worth how many billions can become a total pauper the next day if the spiritual hand that propelled him to that wealth is taken away. So now those people come and they spend their time serving the purpose of the devil, and the purpose of the devil is to send people to hell. That's his only purpose, to deceive the multitudes to do what? Now when you see that Facebook is involved very much in fighting the influence of people who believe in God, and when somebody comes up who has power and influence, who is not part of them, they will curtail him, they will cut him off like Donald Trump, remove you off their platforms. That's the same of Twitter and so on. Now, they will allow you as a church there if you're small, and they will allow this message here because they don't think yet it has gotten to a point where they should curtail you. But when you get to a point where you have influential, they will curtail you because their purpose is not to promote the gospel. Their purpose is to promote the kingdom of darkness. So if you are going to use their platform to go and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, they would use any means possible to make sure that they, you know, they undo what you're doing. So you have to learn that there is no wealth without purpose. Okay? There is no wealth without purpose in this kingdom. Now, some people think that you're going to become billionaires and what through natural means. Work hard, do what? I wish you luck. But I'll tell you this, because many people have been asking me about wealth transfer. And by the way, they're asking it because it is the time for it right now. These people who are accumulating wealth, you know very well what the scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. It says some people, their work is to gather wealth. Okay? Sinners, God has given them the work to gather wealth. And when they are finished gathering it, God will get it and give it to the people who are just, those who please him. That's what the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 2, 26. And now there are people who are busy gathering wealth. And they are busy gathering wealth, and they think they are in top. But now when Babylon crashes, as it will at some stage very soon, then that wealth turns to the people who are pleasing to God. That's why here it says the holy prophets and apostles are celebrating, because for them, the wealth has come to them. And while these people are busy gathering wealth and doing, working hard, for us who are busy praising God, and I can tell you this, that ultimately the wealth ends up with us. There is no doubt about that. That is as sure as Bible prophecy. There is no doubt about that. Now some, and people say, you fool yourself. Let's wait and see who is fooling who. Just give me a few years and see who is going to have that wealth. You go ahead and work hard and gather. There's nothing wrong with working hard. I'm not saying do not work hard. But these people, I've given you that example. Wealth from the Spirit comes with a purpose. Now, people ask about wealth transfer. How are we going to get into this wealth transfer? How is it going to happen? And so on. I'll tell you this. There's only two ways you can get wealth. One, of course, is that way. Okay? Work hard and you know what, accumulate what one generation, then the next, then accumulate. And even then, by the way, a lot of those people whom you see who developed wealth in that time, they had a spiritual backing to it. And I can tell you this, wealth without a purpose will destroy the person who has it. I'll say that again. Any wealth without a purpose destroys the person who has it. So it has got to be attached to a purpose. And that purpose has got to be eternal. Now, it is either the purpose from the kingdom of darkness to deceive people and send them deeper and deeper into hell. So you see these people go there to get rich. They are tasked with bringing other people, sending them down into hell. Come, let me take you. You want to become rich like me? Come, let me take you. Now, they have to go also and evangelize. And they know it. The devil gives you his money, it has to come with a purpose. But I'll tell you this. When God gives you his money, he gives you to enjoy, the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He gives us richly to enjoy. Unlike the devil, God wants us to enjoy. The devil is a sadist. He does not want anybody to enjoy. He will give you money and then it comes with all sorts of problems. So he gives you money, you go and create Apple and what, and in the mid-50s when everybody is, you know, adoring you, you get cancer and you die. That is typical devil. Typical devil, sadist. He does not want you to enjoy anything he gives you. It is like... He does not like any human being. He hates humanity completely. Now, the trouble with that is I am seeing Mark Zuckerberg here saying how Steve Jobs sent him to some Indian spiritist, a guru, and yet in pulpits I am seeing pastors quoting, Steve Jobs said, the man was a demonic person. What are you doing quoting him on the pulpit? Why don't you quote people? Has the kingdom of God run out of heroes? Now, I cannot quote somebody whom I do not know was born again on my pulpit unless it is to tell you how wicked he is, the way I quote Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, just to tell you how wicked they are. But quoting them as if they have wisdom, no, they don't. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Steve Jobs had no wisdom, zero wisdom. I believe the fear of God is the beginning, so he did not even start. So how can I stand on my pulpit and start quoting Steve Jobs? Are you kidding me? Let the kingdom of darkness quote their own. For me, I will quote the children of God. People whom I know are children of God. I will quote them. But you are men of God, say profound, powerful things. Now you don't quote them. But the people whom the world puts out there for you as heroes, then you quote them. So on your pulpit, quoting what Barack Obama said, who is he in our kingdom? Nothing. A fool. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Like, there are certain things which you have to understand, that we are now living in contrary worlds. You are either this side or the other side. There is no two ways about it. There is no more middle ground. So if you are not on the side of God, like, I have no business even quoting you except to expose you the way I've done these people. But quoting you as if some kind of wisdom. Steve Jobs said if you do this or this will happen. No. Really. I mean, where is he? So anyhow, I was saying this, that all wealth has to come with a purpose. So there are two ways you get wealth. First one is by hard work, you know, basically buying, selling, buying things and so on. The second way is through inheritance. Inheritance. That's the other way you get it. And now I'm going to tell you, God does not intend for us to get wealth outside of inheritance, because there are things which were done for us. That's why it says that we have an inheritance. In him we have an inheritance. And there is an inheritance that we have in him. Okay? And the inheritance is, actually it speaks about it so much in Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about all the inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say so many things in chapter 1:11. In him, that is in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, or the counsel of his purpose. So the inheritance is purpose. I'll read it again. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Now I'm teaching you how you're going to be a part of the wealth transfer. This might not end today, but it will be continued in the consequent message after this, which will be run next Wednesday. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, that is in Christ, being predestined according to the purpose of him. Now the predestination is for a specific purpose. So the inheritance and the purpose are linked one to the other. You see, some people want to get an inheritance and they do not want to attach themselves to the purpose of God. And they think they will get it. They cannot. So the first step actually towards getting the inheritance is, first of all, understanding what is your purpose. Where is your station? What is God planning for you? I mean, where do you fit in this entire kingdom structure? Where am I supposed to be in the kingdom structure? Now, you will have an inheritance of certain things, but they might not be the one of, you know, the actual wealth. Of course, you'll have the inheritance of redemption, you'll have the inheritance of forgiveness of sins. All those are inheritance which you receive in Christ Jesus, which are also mentioned in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. All those are mentioned. Not verse 11, just sorry, all Ephesians chapter 1. All of it is talking about our inheritance in Christ. Then it says in verse 14, talking about the Spirit of God, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So you'll get inheritance in your redemption. But the inheritance in the world, you have to align yourself with the purpose of God. There is no other way. Align yourself with the purpose of God and the rest is going to be automatic. I'll give you an example, which I had some other man of God giving. And he says that, for instance, you can be employed by government and you go and you're written into the civil service. So they say, Joseph Kableta is now a civil servant after your name has been put in the list of civil servants in the country. But they don't just stop at putting you in the civil service. After that, they have to assign you to a specific ministry or to a specific government department or agency. And everything happens at the place of your assignment. Imagine I am enlisted as a government employee and I am legitimately a government employee. But then I am stationed in the Ministry of Education. But I say, no, I don't like education. Let me go to the Ministry of Gender. Okay? And then I say, I prefer gender. Then I go to the Ministry of Gender. Now, when I arrive at the Ministry of Gender, nobody knows me. They don't know me. I actually look like an imposter. I don't even have anything there. They might actually even call for me police and say I'm an imposter, but actually I am a civil servant, like all of them. But my everything I'm looking for comes when I go to the place of my assignment. Now, if I was assigned at the Ministry of Education and I first go to finance, they chase me away. I go to gender, they chase me away. I go to the Ministry of Agriculture, they chase me away. Until finally I say, I think let me go to the place of my posting. Then I go to the Minister of Education and I introduce myself. I am Joseph Kableta. They say, hey, we have been waiting for you. Here is your office. Here are the keys to all the instruments you need. And your salary has been here waiting for you. Imagine I spent 1 year meandering in all ministries, in which time I was broke, in which time I was redundant, in which time I was being treated as an imposter. Yet actually, if I had only gone to the place of my assignment, waiting for me was a nice office, was a salary, was all the things I need to work, perhaps even a government car, I'm giving an example. But I'm not going to get it until I get to the place of my assignment. Now, there are so many children of God who are legitimately children of God, but they do not have an idea of where they are assigned, where God has assigned them, where the Spirit of God wants them to be. They have not received a specific, or if they have received a specific instruction, they have not followed it, or they do not know. Now, when I listen to this message, I ask them to go and ask God, where is the place of my assignment? The minute you step there, like that government worker, you'll find something, a provision was waiting for you there all along when you were getting lost in other places. Okay? Now, I know that the Lord has sent me to preach end time, you know, Bible prophecy and end time. That is my specific commission. Now, imagine if I decided I'm going to preach something else, totally different. You know, no, this is not it. This is, those things are not interesting. Let me go and try something else. And then I go and nothing is working out. I'm doing everything I know to do right. Nothing is working out. And there's nothing wrong with me as a child of God. I am a child of God. But I am just living in rebellion. Okay? That's what is actually called rebellion. Because you know what to do, but for some reason you think you're sharper than God and you just will not do it. Now, the scripture says, and I like this scripture, it's in Jeremiah 6, 8. This is what it says. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. Be instructed. Know what your specific instruction is. Now, this is our responsibility as people who are preparing for a wealth transfer. Do you know exactly what you are supposed to be doing from the Lord? Imagine if you are a soldier and you were sent on an outpost. Let's say you're a soldier of the UPDF and you were sent somewhere, let's say in Congo, and you were commissioned to go to Congo. Imagine if you went there and you spent 1 year and 2 years and you've not heard a single thing from your commander. Not a single thing from your commander. Imagine what would you be thinking? Have these people forgotten about me? What am I supposed to be doing? Now, of course, you'd become uneasy. Maybe you'd even get in touch with the command post and say, you people, 2 years ago you sent me to Congo. I don't know what are the recent instructions. Am I still supposed to be here? Have the instructions changed? Because you haven't heard. But you know, there are some people who have not had an instruction from God for 10 years, but they are still walking, they are still moving. And they have not had an instruction from God. And they do not even go to ask him, okay, the last time you spoke to me, Lord, this is what you said. But is that still where we are? Am I doing right? Am I moving in the right direction? Are there any new instructions you'd want me to follow? And so on. Imagine, just think about that. So every wealth transfer has to come with that instruction. You have to be willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. You have to be willing, first of all, to pull in the direction of God, to be attached to his purpose. And after you've done that, obedient, willing and obedient. Now, it says in Job, I'm going to read for you two scriptures here from Job, then maybe that's about time we'll have for today. It says in Job, chapter 36, starting from verse 10, he says, he also opens their ear to instruction. That is your ear. Now, if you haven't had instruction from the Lord in a long time, and you are like that soldier who was sent to Congo and has not heard from his commanders in years, it's time for you to ring back to the Lord and go and take time and ask, Lord, what are my instructions? Am I doing well? The last time we spoke, you told me to start a church. But the church is not doing as well as I thought it should do. Is there anything you'd want me to change? Am I doing well? Am I moving right? I haven't had an instruction from you in a long time. That shows that you are an illegitimate person. That shows you are connected to the command post. Now, it's time for you to ring back home to the Lord, to the Spirit of God, if you haven't had an instruction in a long time, and say, Spirit of God, what is my instruction? Am I doing well? How am I doing? The last time we spoke, this is what you told me, but I don't know. Should I still pursue this or has something changed? By the way, some people have not even yet heard from God at whatsoever, but that's okay. Just go and ask him. Let me tell you, you'll hear one way or another. God is itching to give you an instruction because he's building an end time army and you are part of that army. You are part of that army. That's why even you're listening to this message. Whether you listen to it now, the time I preached, or even at some stage in future, you are supposed to be part of that army. Now, the Spirit of God wants to give you an instruction. He's itching to give you an instruction. He wants badly to give you an instruction. If only you would ask. Now, just go and ask. Lord, what are my instructions? Where do you want to put me? Which ministry am I supposed to be in? I'm giving the example of government again. I might be here stuck in the Ministry of Finance. No wonder things are not moving. Have you stationed me in another ministry? Maybe I'm supposed to be in the Ministry of Agriculture. Maybe that's why nothing is working out here. Where am I supposed to go? Now, when you find that place, I tell you, just like the other civil servant who found his station, you find a place waiting for you. Something waiting for you. Some provision, something. You know that you are, now I have entered where God wants me to be. But that is only going to happen when you bow down to the instruction of God. I'll read the scripture which I wanted to read before. It says, he also opens their ear to instruction, that is the Lord, and commands that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. Think about that. It's about obey and serving him. So serving him, you cannot serve him in your own will and purpose. You have to align your purpose to his. God has his purpose. He's not going to align his purpose to yours. No, he's not. You have to align your purpose to his. Now, but he says, if you do that, you'll spend your days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Now, some people, having tried to become wealthy by the word of God, everybody starts believing God is, we're blessed, I'm blessed, I'm going to be blessed, you know, blessed in the field, and blessed in the country, blessed in the field, blessed where, blessed, and then you confess blessings, and then after some years of the blessings not happening and all you see is something different, then some people actually start getting offended. And then anybody they see in blessings, they start accusing them, ah, you go underwater, you're false, you're what? But the truth is they are just offended because they tried and it did not work. Then they start ascribing the wealth which is belongs to children of God. They are giving it to the devil. So you find somebody whom God has blessed. Instead of asking him, how have you come to this? You serve the same God as I, at least I believe you serve the same God as I am. And the God we serve is not a respecter of persons. So if he did that for you, surely he can do it for me also. But tell me how. What did you do? Now I'm telling you, every servant of God will be glad, who has been blessed, will be glad to tell you how. And he says, this is how the Lord blessed me. And if you do the same, you will get the same result. God is no respecter of persons. You know that. Now, he says, and if they obey, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Now, some people get angry when they see somebody in pleasure, enjoying good things. You get angry, but it is the promise of God. God has promised us that. Now, I know I was in a place where it wasn't working. Nothing is working. God, I've tried everything. I know nothing is working. But I needed a certain few things put in place. And when I put those things in place, suddenly those things started working. Things started working progressively, and they are still progressing. But I can tell you, it is totally different from what it was before. Now, when you talk about pleasures, some people who God has blessed know how to be in pleasures. They know how to enjoy themselves, okay? They know how to spend their days in prosperity. And now other people are angry that somebody is enjoying their pleasure. But God is not angry. Don't think that God is angry when somebody is driving a nice, beautiful car, personalized, staying in a beautiful mansion. Who told you? Who told you that God is angry when his wealth is in the hands of his children? No, God is happy. Now, but because some people were offended, it didn't happen for them, then they go into the teaching of the world. Ah, those people are just preaching money. They are all after money. No, they are not all after money. Actually, if they were after money, they would not get the money. The fact that they are not after money is demonstrated by the fact that they got it. You try to go and be all after money and you see if you'll get it. You will not. Eventually, you'll get frustration. But then God says, when you now are all after my purpose, then you'll get the money as a byproduct. That's what Jesus meant. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and, you know, his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Now, the fact that you're not, all those things are not yet added unto you shows you're not seeking his kingdom. If you actually started seeking his purpose, they would be added. So go and get instruction, because I'm running out of time now. Go and get instruction. Instruction is the key thing. Now here is, I'll read this one very fast before we have to end. For God may speak in one way or in another. Job 33 verse 14 to 16. For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive. Okay? Then he says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Many people might get instruction through a dream, because that's usually the place God starts. Because he starts there because you might not perceive any other way he speaks to you. But when you're a starter, He waits for you to sleep because your mind is out of the way. Then you get some instruction in form of a dream. Now, of course, you have to be mature in the way you handle those dreams. But a lot of the times, instructions have come through dreams, and those are instructions of God. But I charge everybody who is listening to us this day, don't be on the outpost when you have not received an instruction from the commander, who is the Spirit of God. Go and ask him, Lord, here I am. I am your child. I'm your servant. I haven't had instruction in a long time. Please give me instruction. And I tell you, the Lord wants to do it, and he will do it. So I'm going to have to end here. Thank you so much today for joining us here on The Watchman. And I'll continue a bit on the wealth transfer. I haven't even started, by the way. I haven't even spoken about the things I wanted to speak about the wealth transfer. But I'm going to have to continue and end this subject next week. God bless you. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9 Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.